Let us pray. Almighty God, by grace alone you call us and accept us in your service. Strengthen us by your Spirit and make us worthy of your call through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, the secret's out. A fortnight ago, our two youngest grandchildren declared that as of tomorrow, I will be officially senile. Now, considering that at the time, we were sitting in the windswept grandstand at Lynx Park Montrose, the home of the mighty Mo, our beloved Montrose, getting thumped for the umpteenth time this season, maybe that says a wee bit about our collective mental health. So you'll forgive a senile old man if he decides this morning he's going to show another photograph, a holiday photograph, as the sermon heading this morning. It was, of course, taken on our pilgrimage to the Holy Land in 2011, and is of the Sea of Galilee. The relevance is, of course, that this morning's readings, both of them, are of great significance in the geography and the history and the religion of Israel. This is quite deliberate. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, the kingdom of God is near." The whole of eternity is squeezed into that verse. The reign of God was about to begin. God had invaded earth in Jesus Christ. From that moment on, it became of paramount importance that everyone should come to know God, to feel the love of Jesus, and to take into our hearts that wonderful message which is there for all of us. This is the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel which reaches its glorious end with the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus, in the reading, was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Galilee, the sea, runs from north to south in the Jordan Rift Valley. It's big, a big freshwater lake, but it's quite shallow. As Jesus walked along that shoreline, he would have been able to see fertile countryside and lots of evidence that the Sea of Galilee was teeming with fish. One writer records that there were 250 fishing boats from just one village alone on the shores. It's a bit different today, but I'm told there are still at least 24 different kinds of fish to be found in the lake. As he continued on his walk, the main reason for him being there came into view. It was two brothers, Simon and Andrew, casting their nets into the sea. The nets that they were using in the Bible are called amphimlestron. They were circular and they could be up to about 9 feet wide and had stones sewn into the circumference. They were used in shallow water and basically they just surrounded the fish. And this was one of three methods that the fishermen of the time would have used. Going on from there, he spotted two other brothers, James and John, preparing their own fishing nets so that they could use them on their own boat later. These were not chance encounters. This was not the first time Jesus had seen them. It's thought that he had met them previously and had got to know them. Jesus decided that it was them he wanted to accompany him on his mission. Jesus had called these four men fishermen, not men of great learning, not men of great wealth, not from the ruling class, not well known, just men from an ordinary working background, not poor, but with no great future either. I'm reminded of the last verse of the carol by Christina Rossetti, In the Bleak Midwinter. What can I give him? poor as I am. If I were a shepherd, I would give a lamb. If I were a rich man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him. Give my heart. What Jesus needs is ordinary people who will give themselves to him. Jesus can do anything with people who give him their hearts. There are no barriers with Jesus. His call is universal and it's all-encompassing. It's a call which we've all heard and therefore we must pass on. Matthew 4, verse 19. Come, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What kind of qualities did these four young men possess to make them good fishermen? What kind of experiences would they have had to make them good fishers of men? Are these qualities and these experiences useful for us today? Well, firstly, they must have had patience. They would have learned to wait patiently until the fish came to the bait. If they had been restless or too quick in their movements, the fish would be lost. Good fishers of people need to follow that example, to be patient. The instant, on-the-spot conversion of a people who makes a commitment to Christ portrays a wonderful and uplifting picture, and we shouldn't lose that. But more often than not, it is taking time and prayer and effort with family and friends and neighbours that catch the prize. Even the best preaching and the most gifted teaching rarely brings quick results. So patience and time is needed. We must learn to pray. Have patience. As fishermen, these four young men would have learned to keep going, to persevere. There must have been times when they were discouraged and the catch was small to non-existent. Remember the story at the beginning of Luke's Gospel in chapter 5, when Simon and his men had been out fishing all night with nothing to show for their efforts. In his book, The Invisible Church, Steve Aythorpe tells us that there are a lot of people of all ages in this country who believe in God but do not come to church. We must reach out time and time again. We must persevere. It's awfully easy to say, that'll never work, or we've tried that before. The reality is that there are people, even here in Newport, who have a faith, but still need to discover that Christian fellowship will develop that faith further. We must never be discouraged when we try something to attract new people to Jesus, and nothing appears to be happening. We persevere. Courage. Courage would be a necessary quality for the fishermen of Galilee. There's an old Greek prayer which comes used by fishermen, and it comes from the same time. And they used it when they asked God to protect them when they were fishing. And it includes the line, "My boat is so small and the ocean is so big." We must remember a verse from the story in Matthew chapter 8. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. The Sea of Galilee can be flat, calm most of the time, but it's far from unknown for gales and choppy water to appear with little warning. And even though it's thought that up to even seven of the disciples might have been fishermen, they were taken by surprise by the sudden appearance of bad weather. In normal times, they had to just be courageous, courageous enough to take the risk and turn to face the fury of the sea and the gale full on. Courage. A fisher of men must realize that telling the truth can be dangerous. I can recall many, many times in my old day job when I had to face a parent with the news that they would have preferred not to hear. Most of them, nearly all of them, I have to say, took it reasonably well. But there were a joyous few who decided it was all Mr. Imlay's fault. And the more folk who knew that, the better. Telling the truth can put your reputation on the line. In other circumstances and in other places, telling the truth can mean something even more serious than a bruised reputation. There is a history of Christian martyrs who can testify to that. If we are to proclaim the love and the sacrifice of Jesus, then it might make uncomfortable, hard listening for some folk, folk who would prefer not to look at their own life choices. Courage will be required. The fisherman would be able to spot an opportunity. An experienced fisherman will know the right time to go out fishing. In the same way, they'll know when they're wasting their time and there's no choice of a catch. There is a right time to cast nets, a time when things look hopeful. We need to recognize when opportunities occur. There's no doubt that God will present them to us. Sometimes when we are prepared, sometimes when we are least prepared, indeed, sometimes when we have planned something else completely. God chooses in his time, not ours. There are moments when folk desperately need to know that Jesus is there for them. Need to know that his comfort and strength are there for them. Need to know of his love and forgiveness. And again, there are moments when folk don't want to hear. When they're blinded by their own desires and their own needs and are resistant to look honestly and truthfully at themselves. An approach at that point would simply be counterproductive. There is a time to be silent, but there's a great time to speak. We need to be able to spot, or indeed, create an opportunity. Create an opportunity. The fisherman would know how to do that, to match the fish with an appropriate bait. One fish will rise to a particular bait, and that same bait will be resisted by another fish. It was Paul himself who said that he would become all things to all men if by any chance he would win all men. In Acts 20, he tells the elders from Ephesus, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you." We're all different, and the same approach will not appeal to everyone. At one and the same time, the church must keep changing, but the message must never change. The language may change. The methods may change, and we must adapt to fit. We must read our Bibles constantly so the message stays relevant, relevant to the generation in which we live, and bring the infinite love of God and the great fellowship to every age, matching the fish with an appropriate bait. And finally, and the most important, wise fishermen keep themselves out of sight. If a fish becomes aware of a presence or even a shadow, it will swim away. We must never get in front of the message. We must bring people to God, bring people into the living presence of Jesus Christ. Certainly, it is vital that we attract people with a warm welcome, with Christian fellowship and example. We want folk to like coming to Newport Church very much indeed, but we must never make that our ultimate goal. Our dearest ambition is to win people for Jesus. Folk must come here to know God and to receive his grace. Jesus calls us to follow him. It is our duty and our joy to become fishers of men. Amen.